This is Pastor Tom Martin of Knox Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Silver Spring, Maryland, inviting you to worship God on this Lord's Day evening, February 14, 2021. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, who says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Who's going to notice that person? The humble person who doesn't brag about their wealth and attainments. Actually, the Lord watches out for people like that. He values them, and he gives them something to boast about, himself. Here's God's call to worship him. It's an invitation to humble people to sing his praises. Listen. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." People of God, peace be unto you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you've warned the wise that they're not to boast in their wisdom, or the mighty are not to boast in their might, or the wealthy are not to boast in their riches. Instead, the one with something to boast about is the one who knows you, for you are the Lord, and you practice steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth because you delight in those things. And because you take delight in those things, you've sent us a Savior, the Lord Jesus. One who is gentle and lowly in heart, who gives us rest for our souls, so that now we can boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, by which the world and its standards are crucified to us and we to it. And so we, though humble, can be bold in the Lord Jesus, because he's not given us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. And so with bold humility, we ask that you meet with us now for the sake of the Lord Jesus, the one in whom we boast. Amen. At this time, you may pause this recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 700. "Come, we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known." Trinity Hymnal number 700. And now we read from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Some of us are able to remember back to our playground days when the teams were being chosen. The popular, good-looking, skillful kids were all chosen first. Are they the kind of people that God's looking for to be members of his church? Not at all. Paul tells us that it's almost as if God made a point of choosing people who were socially inconspicuous or even despised to be his cherished people redeemed through Jesus. Listen to what he had to say to the status-conscious Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Here's God's word. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." And that's the word of our God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you that you notice people in their neediness. We confess that we notice the people who seem to be successful, influential, beautiful, wealthy, all those superficial categories that the world considers to be ever so important. And often we look on those people with envy or resentment. We pray that you would open our eyes to recognize them as people who are like ourselves, with their own fears, idolatries and delusions. Give us discernment to recognize them for what they are, broken image bearers of God who need a savior, for they can't save themselves. Give us hearts to care about them, wisdom to relate to them in the right kinds of ways. Help us to pray for them, to love them, and in whatever way we can, to show them Jesus. But we pray too for our relationships with other people who seem less important, who don't exercise much influence, who are needy or hurting or sad and lonely. Give us compassionate hearts toward them. Sometimes their neediness is concealed out of shame or embarrassment or hurt. Help us to notice them. Teach us to care about them. Give us grace to speak with them tenderly and sincerely. Help us to love them and supply to us what we need in order to translate loving words into loving actions. And we pray that in these days we will be a congregation that recognizes the needy among us, able to discern the hurt and the fear and embarrassment and the doubt, and to respond with the compassion of Jesus. We pray for our deacons as they lead us in a ministry of compassion and mercy, remembering that once we had not received mercy, but now by your grace we have received mercy from you. Give us compassion for a world that is radically broken, profoundly confused, and racked with fear and despair. We pray that your church would be a bright beacon and that we individually would shine out as lights in a dark place. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, our great healer, who reminds us that it's not the healthy that need a physician, but those who are sick. Amen. For our Old Testament scripture reading this evening, we return to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 20. This evening, the historian, the inspired author of Samuel, describes a memorable encounter. Now, when historians describe memorable encounters, they're normally encounters between people who are rich and famous, movers and shakers, the powerful and the influential. But this encounter is between a woman who is broken and grieving and an obscure priest that you'd otherwise never have heard of. But it's also an encounter of a needy soul with a gracious God. And that kind of encounter is always a memorable thing. Listen, here's God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. And that's God's word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we remember Mary in the garden being addressed by someone who called her by name. And she recognized the voice of her risen Savior. We pray that the same risen Saviour might speak to us now through his word, and that we might have hope in him. Amen. Here's Hannah, and she's asking a lot. She's asking for a son, and that seems like a tall order given the fact that she's been barren for years. But in actual fact, if that seems like a tall order, it's Hannah's second bold request. We read the first in verse 11. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant. And you see, Hannah is asking to be remembered. And that's an amazing thing. She's identified God as the Lord of hosts. She's identified herself as a servant, as a slave. There are the very wildest extremes of status. But the glorious thing that Scripture teaches us is that our God, the God of hosts, the creator of heaven and earth, is a God who cares about those who are afflicted, those who are downcast, those who are obscure and needy. And here's a fine example of that this evening with many memorable aspects. And let me just identify three of them for us. First of all, in verses 11 through 16, we hear Hannah praying in a way that was memorable. Have you ever heard a memorable prayer? I've heard some memorable prayers, but one of the prayers that stands out in my mind is a prayer I heard one evening at a special prayer meeting back in Ireland. We were praying for the beloved wife of a dear friend who was ailing and coming close to death. And I vividly remember the grieving husband calling out to the Lord. It wasn't an eloquent prayer. It wasn't a long prayer. It was a heartfelt prayer. Here is Hannah, and she's praying a heartfelt prayer. Verse 15, she says, I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, I've been speaking out of great anxiety and vexation. Here's someone who's uninhibited. She's pouring out her heart to the Lord, but she's silent. If you or I had been there, we'd have heard nothing. But nevertheless, this is a powerful prayer. Isn't that a marvelous thing? There's nothing audible to be heard, but the soul is communing to God. Chrysostom says, Hannah's tears uttered a cry more clear than any trumpet. That's a wonderful thing for us to remember. David talks about how in time of crisis, God kept count of my tossings. God has put his tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? And David's very conscious that in the midst of crisis, God's fully aware, not just of the words of his prayers, but his tears. God knows those. God sees our tears. He hears silent prayers, prayers that are not eloquent. And Paul explains how that is in Romans chapter 8 when he speaks about the Holy Spirit, how Romans 8 verse 27, he who searches hearts knows what's in the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit's stethoscope is pressed on us. He knows what's going on in there. But here's Hannah, and the writer does carry us into Hannah's heart. We get to hear what's going on and what Hannah's praying. Well, we might be nervous about what Hannah's praying in her circumstances because we know that Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife, has been very bitter, has treated her very harshly and severely. And is Hannah's heart filled with resentment and vindictiveness toward Peninnah? Is she praying for revenge? And then there's Elkanah, who's made those clumsy attempts to give comfort, and maybe she's praying out of a spirit of resentment for her husband. Because, yes, we do sometimes get hurt by those who are closest to us. God alone is the reliable one. But when Hannah comes praying, there's no trace of recrimination. There's no trace of bitterness. She comes before God simply as someone who's needy, who's calling out for mercy. And we remember how the psalmist tells us that were we to cherish iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not listen. That's Psalm 66, verse 18. We have to do work sometimes to get our hearts right. We need to confess sin sometimes in order to clear the way for prayerful fellowship and communion with God. And what a memorable example Hannah sets before us. What a memorable example the Lord Jesus sets before us. Someone who was afflicted and abused, who was betrayed by those who were closest to him, let down by those who were his very closest circle of friends, and then his own people rejecting him, betraying him, causing him to be put to death, and Jesus praying not that they'll be stricken down, praying for God to show mercy. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But here's the second memorable thing to notice. How Hannah was treated was memorable as well. And if you look at verses 12 through 17, you'll see how that was the case. Hannah has already been memorably mistreated by Peninnah. And she comes into the tabernacle, into the place there at Shiloh. And that, you would expect, would be a place of sanctuary and refuge, place of shelter for her. And here's a reality check. She's there and she's praying, and it sounds like the days in Israel were such dark days that you were more likely to find a drunk woman there in the sanctuary than you were to find a praying woman. Maybe it's a reflection on Eli, the high priest, and his detachment from the people he was supposed to be shepherding. He's sitting there in his chair. The word literally means his throne, his seat of honor. Here's a spiritual leader in Israel who it seems couldn't tell the difference between someone who was drunk and someone who was in deep spiritual distress. And he arrived at a very uncharitable conclusion. Verse 14, he said to her, "How long are you going to go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you." And we wince, don't we? All these insensitive people. Hannah, what a great answer from Hannah. I haven't been pouring wine. I've been pouring out my soul. But you see, we need to learn that people who are struggling and hurting don't always act the way we might expect. They're not as cheerful. Sometimes they don't seem to be themselves. They're not as quick to volunteer. They're more withdrawn. They leave more quickly. And you and I need spiritual discernment to be able to identify those people, to be able to regard them charitably, to give them shelter so that their relationship with us can be a place of shelter where they're not judged or criticized or misunderstood, but where they can feel safe, where we can point them to Jesus. Jesus is the one, you remember, who describes himself in Matthew 12, verses 20 and 21 as the bruised reed. He doesn't break the bruised reed. He doesn't quench the smoldering wick. He brings justice to victory. He gives the Gentiles cause for hope. You see, we have hope in the Lord Jesus because he treats us with compassion. He invites us to find rest in him, to find security in him. He's concerned for those who are harassed and helpless. And so as we learn from the Lord Jesus and his gentle reception, his tender reception of us in our neediness, as we learn from Jesus, one of the things we learn is how to receive others with gentleness, with tenderness, to have a memorable encounter with them so that they say, wow, here's someone who understands. Here's someone who's able to give me the peace, the place of comfort that I need right now. And here's someone who's able to point me to the Lord Jesus. This was a memorable encounter. And what happened next was memorable as well. Look at verses 18 through 20. Because Hannah's gentle answer, and she didn't snap back at Eli. It's very interesting to see how Hannah responded. She didn't storm out from there, having been so painfully and hurtfully misunderstood. She didn't storm out. She didn't get up and call Eli out. She recalls Eli to his duty. And really, it's a lovely exchange that takes place in verses 17 and 18. So that Eli responds, "Go in peace, and the Lord of Israel, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." It's a lovely exchange. It's a lovely pun as well, because Hannah's name means grace or favor. So here she's saying, "I'm grace, let me find grace in your eyes." But that wasn't the only memorable thing that happened next, because Wow. Well, there's a child. There's a child that's born because the Lord remembered Hannah. The Lord took notice. He heard her prayer and he blessed her with an answer to her petitions. But before that, we're told in verse 18, the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Even before the child came along, something had changed. Something had changed. Previously, Hannah wanted a son for herself, but now she's asking for a child for God. Now the prayer's not ultimately about her, it's about God. Previously, only a son would make her happy. But now she takes joy in her confidence that God cares for her. And you know, that really is better than 10 sons. And it's only when we take joy in God that we're able to be trusted with the kinds of good gifts that God gives to his people. You see, often we'd rather have the gift than the giver. And the wonderful thing is that God presents his son to us as the gift. He gives us himself. And then once we've received that marvelous gift and recognized it for what it is, then we're ready to be trusted with the other good things that God gives to his people. Remember Paul encouraging the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it seems like as Hannah related to God and poured out her prayer to God, and as her heart was changed and transformed, Hannah learned what it was to experience the peace of God as she trusted him to deal rightly with her prayer. And God did. God gave her a child. He remembered her. And that puts Hannah in exalted company. The people whom God remembered, and you can probably compile just off the top of your head a short list of them. God remembered Noah. Isn't that amazing? World in chaos. God remembered Noah there in the ark. Abraham, God remembered Abraham. Rachel, he remembered Rachel. The Israelite slaves in Egypt, God remembered them. And the thief on the cross, who called out to the Lord Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said to him, I will. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who remembers those who trust in you. And so we pray that you would give us grace, that we would trust in you, that we wouldn't be fearful or anxious, but that our eyes would be inclined to you, our prayers directed to you, and that we would have peace in you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, you may pause this recording and sing the words of Trinity Hymnal number 669. Commit now all your griefs and ways into his hands. Trinity Hymnal number 669. And now, people of God, be of good hope. Lift up your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope, now and always. Amen.